Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the city council meeting, the regular business meeting for Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. The time right now is 7:04 p.m. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Hanford, Johnson, and Dickey.
Thank you. And Councilmember Scarborough has been kind enough to allow a scout from Troop 288, Mr. Ty Williams, to come forward and lead us in the pledge. Mr. Williams, thank you.
My name is Ty Williams, and I'd like to lead you in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations. This is AB 18-071, presentation, employer support of the Guard and Reserve. Please come on forward and state your name and thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mayor Thomas, Chief Quisner, council members, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Wes Hilton, and this is John Van Dalen. We are Defense Department volunteers, specifically working with the employer support for the Guard and Reserve. ESGR is the only Defense Department program that is completely made up of volunteers. Almost half of our nation's military strength resides in the National Guard and Reserve. These brave men and women perform critical roles as homeland defense and serve around the world to ensure our freedom. This would not be possible without the support of employers like you. We're here tonight to present the City of Monroe and the Monroe Police Department with a statement of support for the Guard and Reserve. John?
Sir, can I get this picture with you? Do you mind if the rest of the council comes
up? Whichever way you'd like to do.
Council members, please come down and join us.
Sure.
We're going to bring the council members down so they
okay. Can. You face the other side of the way to talk to us.
Sure. The hands down so they can see it.
Okay, this is yours.
Okay.
This goes in your department wherever you want it. Give that one to the acting chief. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. Welcome. Thank you very much, Mr. Dale.
Just very quickly, the ESGR was developed right after the draft was dropped in 1972. And the Air National Guard, the Army Guard, the Reserve Forces pick up, as Wes said, in some cases, almost 100% of the jobs and requirements around the country. So they become very important, and employers, cities, states, it becomes very important that they understand that they need to go and that they come back safe and sound. So thank you very much. Any questions?
Council members, do you have any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
And please let the record show that Councilmember Camp entered chambers at 7:05, and also that I'd heard from Councilmember Cutback stating that she would not be here this evening due to other commitments with family. Did we hear from Councilmember Gamble as not being here this evening? Okay, we'll go ahead and state for the record when he comes in. And so without objection, we'll go ahead and consider Councilmember Cutback as an excused absence. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is also under announcements and presentations. This is AB 18-072, confirmation of mayor's appointment to Economic Development Advisory Board. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I will move to approve the mayor's appointment of Mike Buse Genesis Refrigeration and Heating to the Economic Development Advisory Board.
Sorry. Thank you. We have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Scarborough for the motion that is a requested action under Agenda Bill 18-072. I'll go ahead and briefly state the staff briefing that I was going to provide, and that is that Mr. Buse is an active member of our Chamber of Commerce. He's a business owner here in Monroe. He has been participating in the Economic Development Advisory Board as a stakeholder. He would like to be part of the Economic Development Advisory Board so that he can vote and provide additional input beyond that, beyond more than just a stakeholder. So I interviewed him last week. He expressed a commitment to continuing to serve and be here at 8 a.m. Once or twice a week. I'm sorry, a month. And I appreciate his willingness to do that. So Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Thank you for filling in. As usual, I like to ask if people can speak for the people being considered. And I don't think we've officially met, but I definitely have seen your name and read about your involvement, and I would definitely support this comp. So I'll be voting in favor. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Councilmember. Any other discussion on the motion that's on the floor? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much, everybody. And are we going to... Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Buse.
Thank you very much, too. I appreciate it. Look forward to helping.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll go upstate one more.
All right, the next item on the agenda is public comments. This is a time set aside for members of the public to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Nobody has signed up. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? I see deliberation over there with our scout. Did you want to come up and say anything? Okay. Anybody else? All right, seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda this evening is unfinished business item number one. This is AB 18-074, ordinance number 005-2018, adopting MMC 9.25, Stay Out of Drug Areas, SODA, for final reading. Chief Quinzer.
I'm going to place Chief Quinzer, Mayor.
I'm sorry, Deputy Chief Bernard.
I'll talk about the SODA area, the State of Drugs area. This is an ordinance which would allow the municipal court to put as conditions, either pre or after conviction, that individuals cannot enter a particular area of the city, which is identified as a high drug activity area. The map which I'll show you is the area which has been designated as the SODA area. It encompasses mostly the downtown area and goes from SR2 down to Lewis Street. The map will go from SR2 down to Lewis Street, from North Lewis down to Hill Street, from Hill Street over to Madison to Fremont,
Fremont over to Ferry Street. Ferry Street over to about where Simon's Street contacts. It's kind of about halfway through the block there. And then from Ferry Street over to Charles through that area. From Charles Street, it kind of takes a jog up the railroad, and then it kind of cuts through railroad property over back up into Highway 2. The map itself is consistent of an area where we've had considerably a large amount of calls over the last 2 years for drug-related activity. And in the past 2 years, there's been 6,056 calls in that particular area. Now, I can't say 100% of these calls are drug-related because we would have had to hand search every one of them to give you that data. But the disturbances, the malicious mischief, the nuisances, the vehicle prowls are all somewhat related to the drug activity in that area. These calls themselves have taken off a lot of resources and time to go take care of those issues. So, are there any questions about the soda or the area in which we're talking about?
Thank you. We're going to go ahead and call on council members. Councilmember Kent.
No, I think it's a great idea. But I just had a question about how you decided on the area. So these are the crimes in the particular area for the soda, right?
Yes.
So it encompasses everything, not just drugs. What about encampments? So if someone is living in Al Borland or something, is that considered a soda area as well? Or
at this point, it is not.
Okay.
The reason that this area was logged out is the number of calls that we have there.
Uh-huh.
And we tried to stay completely away from the residential areas in town for obvious reasons. It's not good for home sale values and so on.
Right.
You have to give that up. So we concentrated more on downtown where we're having a lot of problems.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Chief. I was at a different meeting the night that this was gone over, so I just want to make sure I understand correctly. So by passing this, anything in that map zone would be when people are being released from prison or early release or something like that, they would be excluded from being released to those areas? Is that correct?
This would be through municipal court for misdemeanor charges.
Okay.
And when they're either pre-sentence or after conviction, the judge can put as part of their conditions of release that they're not to be in this area.
So that would be our judge?
That would be our judge.
Okay. And she recommends this, or she supports this?
She supports this. Also, okay. The Downtown Merchants Association supports this.
Okay. Great. I'll move to adopt ordinance number 005-2018, amending Title IX MMC by the addition of a new Chapter 9.25, staff, drug areas, orders thereto, authorizing the Monroe Municipal Court to condition a pretrial release and or post-conviction suspension of sentence for certain drug-related offenses upon the defendant's exclusion from areas known for high levels of illegal drug activity, providing for the periodic designation of such areas by City Council resolution, establishing standards, procedures, and penalties, therefore providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill number 18-074 from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Davis. Discussion on the motion, Councilmember Scarborough.
Deputy Chief, can the judge also include places like Albemarle Park? Can she add those to this admonition that they couldn't go in this area? Could she also say you're not to be in Albemarle Park, you're not to be in any of the encampments around town, any of that?
Without an ordinance provided that we would go by court rules on that one, and the ordinance says they can't be camping in that area, but it would not prohibit them from using it during the day.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Deputy Chief, the the success of a soda district in other cities. I don't remember this conversation coming up in the previous meeting. Can you speak to any of the successes from other cities that have adopted something like this?
I can't speak to the specifics of the other cities. I have talked to the assistant chief of EverPD, who has said that their soda area is extremely successful, but I don't have any specifics.
Okay. I guess my only concern, I'm fine in favor of trying it out and seeing where it goes, but I guess my only concern is, we put a ban in this certain area, and that simply, it solves the issues in this area within the boundaries of this map, but essentially pushes the issues beyond in other parts of the city. So in essence, it doesn't necessarily help the entire community. I mean, it certainly helps the downtown, which is where we're seeing a lot of the problems. I guess in my mind, I'm looking for kind of a more solid solution. This is something that a first step and something to give it a shot. But I think long term, that's kind of what I was hoping to see come out of this conversation. So
I believe it just adds another tool to the toolbox for the officers to use, along with other ordinances that the council has passed recently. It just helps us to try to control things. It also helps us working with the courts, the prosecutors, and the defense attorney.
Thank you.
In some instances, when these individuals might be homeless, we are starting to get a lot of referrals from the court system itself, and that's helped out tremendously. So once again, just another tool in the toolbox.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or deliberation on the motion that's on the floor? Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I was just curious. So what happens if you find somebody? Are they arrested? Are they just relocated? Or what?
They would be charged with a crime of being in this particular area at the time. Brings them back in front of the judge. Mm-hmm. And if we continue to have issues, then as the judge desires, it could step up the jail time or whatever condition she decides to put on them at that time.
And how long does it last? How long would someone be restricted from going into a soda?
I believe it's 2 years.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Double check and get back with you.
Well, that's fine. Just if we're 90 days or 30 days or something, but if you're thinking it was 2 years, that's...
Yeah, I'll double check and get back with you.
That'd be fine. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Any other discussion? Go ahead and vote now. Again, it's for the requested action and agenda bill number 18074 as typed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Motion passes 5-0. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Deputy Chief, and thank you, Chief Quinzer.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is new business. Item number one, this is AB 18-075, resolution number 004-2018, amending sick leave policies. Mr. Worthen.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tonight is, I'm bringing back to you the initiative 1433, which was adopted as this part of this year. Sorry.
If you
Councilmember Scarborough doesn't want that light on anymore.
If you're not, I'd be done with it.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So before you are the adopted policy changes that we need to make in order to be in compliance with 1433, if you look at your agenda bill, I highlighted what the Finance and HR Committee looked at for as far as policy recommendations. We could do either or. Paid sick leave accrual availability, accrual and eligibility. The two options, you could let them, they have to, for every 1 hour, for every 40 hours worked, an employee gets 1 hour sick leave. The choice was you could have that held back for 90 days or let that be available at the time. And the thought process was we're really talking about seasonal and temporary employees that are really only employed here for 5 months. So holding that back for 90 days didn't really seem like was within the spirit of the initiative. So we said as soon as it's accrued, these employees can use that. Second is accrual year. It could have been a fixed calendar year or other fixed consecutive 12-month period. It says in parentheses hire date. It's actually incorrect. It's separation date. It's right in the policy, but not on my agenda bill. And the third was reimbursement for sick leave upon separation of service. And the choices are you can pay them out for accrued sick leave or not pay them out. And we're choosing not to pay anybody out for their accrual of sick leave if they're temporary or seasonal. Our collective bargaining agreements for our full-time members are a little bit different. If you remember back 2013, we got rid of a lot of the accrual payouts for full-time employees, but the ones that were previously vested in the payout still get that today. So it's a sliding scale. We have some individuals that will get paid out sick leave for their collective bargaining agreements, but seasonal and temporary will not.
Can I ask the question there?
Sure.
Yeah, so Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Okay, so the temporary employees will be accruing, but when their temporary time is up, they will not be paid for the accrued time.
For their sick leave.
So it's use it or lose it.
Unless they come back within a 12-year period from their separation date. 12 months. 12 months, then they would get that time back. So it's not necessarily a use or lose. And we do have some that return season to season, okay. So that they would continue to build upon that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and make a motion to move to approve resolution number 004-2018 adopting hours of work and leave policy and the changes to the City of Monroe Employee Handbook.
I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill 18-075. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Next item on the agenda this evening is new business item number 2. This is AB 18-076, resolution number 005-2018, updating the city's procurement policies and procedures. Ms. Hasser.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sure I could probably get through reading all of this by 10 o'clock for you if you really wanted me to, but I thought I would just take a more summarized approach to this. The agenda bill, I listed out quite all the changes from the prior policy that we're recommending tonight. Quite frankly, there were so many changes that the actual recommendation is just to repeal the prior policy in its entirety and replace it with the new one that you have in your packet. A couple of things that I wanted to highlight beyond what was in the agenda bill is that a lot of the reasons, there's three main drivers as to why we're looking at this beyond just its good practice to readdress your policies on a periodic basis. The first has to do with addressing operational efficiencies. The thresholds that we have in our existing policy right now are so incredibly restrictive compared to what state law allows that it really does slow down business. For example, when we talked about this at the Finance Committee, we could have a contract that we need to put out for, say, around $15,000, and our existing policies require us to do a formal bidding process on that, which means the time it takes to draw up a request for proposal, all the advertisements we'd have to pay for to put that out there, then the time it takes to review everything versus being able to, especially for a professional services kind of type of contract, going with other cities who they've used, talking about references, and you know there's a very good vendor out there, being able to use them. So we're trying to get to the point where we can be a little bit more efficient with our internal processes, and so we were looking at the policies with that in mind. In addition, the federal government has changed its procurement policies with regards to grants that they award to other jurisdictions. So instead of using their Office of Budget Management circulars that they used to use in the past about allowable costs, they've done away with that and come up with what they call the federal purchasing guidelines. And if you're a jurisdiction then that could or wants to be able to apply for and accept federal money, we now have to conform to the federal purchasing guidelines. In our last audit, state auditors did recommend that we update our purchasing policies to include the pertinent sections from that so that we would be in compliance with federal regulation. So even though we had bits and pieces in our other policies, they wanted it all consolidated in one place. Then if you remember, during the exit interview with the auditors that they presented here at a council meeting, there were a couple of other recommendations they had with regards to our purchasing policy that we have incorporated in this update. Further, I did want to let you know that this These policies have been extensively vetted by the staff, as well as by the finance and HR committee, and by the city attorney. The city attorney did have a few changes that he is suggesting from the version that was in your packet. In discussion with him about all those changes, and he made a couple, like he corrected one of my RCW citations that I had used first class city instead of second class code. For a citation, I know, imagine that. And then he helped clarify some language for me to just make it a little bit stronger. In discussing all the rest of the changes that he was making, there wasn't anything of substance or would change substantially anything within the policy. So if you're comfortable, it's still ready for adoption for this evening. Was there anything you wanted to add to that?
Very briefly, Council, to add on to Becky's comments, the changes that I had recommended that I believe will be in the final version of the document, if you're approving of that, are just to add an enforceability clause at the beginning of the draft to clarify that the purpose of the policies is just for the city's internal reference and convenience. That can't be used by some outside third party to challenge some city action. As Ms. Hassard also mentioned, just correcting some internal statutory cross-citations and references, and to ensure that the language used in our policy is, where appropriate, largely mirroring that of the applicable state statutes. And I think it's entirely appropriate, as Ms. Hassard said, to pass the resolution with an understanding that these minor syntax changes will be made.
And that was my presentation this evening.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
I move to approve resolution number 005-2018, repealing resolution LS-2009/015 and 2012/002, and adopting the new procurement policies and procedures manual.
Second. We have a motion from Councilmember Scarborough, a second from Councilmember Arm Wrestle for it. Who was it?
Hanford.
Councilmember Hanford. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Thresholds. You gave the example of $15,000. Are there others? I'm just curious.
So our prior policies, quite frankly, had anything under $10,000, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have to do a formal process, but anything above $10,000, we would. So, for example, professional and personal services contracts, as defined by RCW, does not require a threshold to do a formal bid. There is a requirement that for architectural and engineering services, however, that you do call for like a roster of qualified folks that may be interested, and then ask for interested parties from that.
There's no threshold for personal?
No, not for personal contracts.
So a $100,000 personal assistant to the city council would be okay? And I know I'm being ridiculous.
Correct. As far as to do a formal bid.
Okay.
Okay. Now, for public works contracts, we had similar type restrictions.
Right.
And state law actually allows you up to $300,000 to be able to use either like a small works roster or an alternative means of bidding versus doing a formal bid process.
So the oversight would be provided by your department to make sure that we don't end up with something really strange.
Actually, the oversight is still either with the council or with the mayor with the new purchasing policies. What we have done in the policies is that you are delegating to the mayor and his delegee up to a certain threshold, and I believe it. What we had in the prior policies as far as for design work was up to $100,000.
Right.
So we chose to keep it there. However, the caveat with that is those are items that can be done through the mayor's authority without coming back to council, as long as it has already been vetted and is part of the budget. So council still has the authority or the opportunity to vet any potential projects out there as part of the budget process. If it is not part of the budget and hadn't been called out as part of the budget when we bring that to you, mm-hmm. then it still has to come to council regardless of the threshold.
So if we had a project for $100,000,
mm-hmm.
and looked at it in the 2019 budget,
correct,
and it's approved by council, we just turned over use or
correct.
Provisioning and process to the mayor's office, Again, there's no, there would be no oversight on the council's part. We would just, that would be just a block sum that would go over to that department.
Well, the idea is that what you've done then is you've delegated to the mayor and his administration to be able to then execute that project for you to the limit of $100,000.
Okay. So if there were... I'm sorry, I'm just trying to picture all the different possibilities with this. What's the current amount that can be done? I mean, the way it's set up right now.
Every contract comes in front of you.
Okay.
Regardless
even,
of amount.
Even if it has been approved.
Correct.
In advance in the...
Correct.
For the following year.
Correct. So you can imagine how that slows
down. Yeah, I could see it, and that would be a little bit of an issue. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Any other questions, Council? Okay. And there was already a motion on the table. The motion again is for the requested action, Agenda Bill number 18-076. There being no other deliberation or discussion, we'll go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ms. Hasser.
Thank you.
I'm the next one, too.
And you have the next one. Well, thank you after that. All right, the next one is new business item number 3. This is AB 18-077, correct? Ordinance number 006-2018, repealing MMC sections 3.24, 3.25, 3.26, regarding procurement procedures for first reading. Ms. Hassert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So related to the resolution, in the process of updating and doing all the research for the procurement policy and procedures, we did find that we actually have adopted in our code certain provisions of what used to be state law with regards to bidding, not to the same full extent and detail as the purchasing policies. However, these particular sections are actually in conflict with what our existing policies were, as well as what current state law does allow. Normally, purchasing policies like this are not adopted as part of your code, and is done by resolution, so that then if there are changes, we can react to them a little bit faster with a resolution than we can with an ordinance. So it is being recommended that we repeal the appropriate sections out of our code by adoption of this ordinance. There is one section, though, that we still want to leave, and that has to do with bonding that has to be done by ordinance. We can't do that as part of the procurement resolution, and that has to do with who actually executes final bonds, whether it's the state or the city. And we'd rather leave that authority here with the city than to have it done by the state. Otherwise, this again has been vetted with the Finance Committee. We did have a little bit of talk about maybe trying to do this in one reading because of our concern with regards to conflicts between the resolution and what these sections of the code say. However, for the pertinent pieces that the code actually addresses, we don't have any pending projects that would slow this down. So all we're recommending tonight is first reading.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. If I'm looking at the alternatives, adopt the ordinance as is or decline to adopt, that will impact our procurement processes?
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
So if you decline to adopt this ordinance upon second reading, and what is that, a month from now, then we would have conflict between what you just adopted in the resolution and what these particular sections say. So again, these sections go back to having those restrictive thresholds of $10,000 before we have to do formal bid.
Do we have anything coming up that would make a reasonable exception that we should go first and final?
No, other than I think it would be nice to do it.
I just don't want to come back up in front of us in
3 weeks. I love standing in front of you.
We always love having you.
To me, it's just housekeeping, but I know that our process here is to do 2 readings. So
if we wanted to make a motion to do first and final reading, how would we do that?
I believe that you would move to waive first reading, and then we would act on that, and then you would go ahead and make a motion for the requested action. Did I get, hey, I got a thumbs up from our clerk.
All right, again, What do I need to say? I move to...
waive council rules of procedure requiring two readings of
an ordinance. Slow down. I move to waive council rules of procedure...
Requiring... two readings of ordinances.
Two readings of ordinances.
Period.
Second.
You didn't raise your right hand.
Okay. I was thanking it.
All right, I have a motion from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Davis to waive two readings as in our rules of procedure, as he stated, and I just paraphrase. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I think Mr. Scarborough is first.
Okay. Councilmember Scarborough.
Well, I just want to add known that at the Finance Committee meeting, we toyed with whether or not we wanted to waive the first reading and wanted it to be clear to everybody that it wasn't a, we weren't going to do it without a positive need for it. And we felt like after reviewing everything that Ms. Hassard had to say that it was warranted in this case, but we just didn't want it to be thought of as the norm.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. It was warranted in this case to do...
only one reading.
Only one
Go
reading.
Right to the second reading.
Okay. I guess that's...
not to set a precedent.
Okay. I guess that's kind of my concern, because, I mean, we've had numerous conversations throughout the years of, you know, minor revisions that have zero urgency, really, and kind of taking the stance of, if you know, let's go through the process and whatnot. Unless there's an urgency, then we'll go ahead and waive it and get it done and whatnot. So I guess that's my only concern. If there's no major urgency, you know, then is there a need? But it, in this case, it doesn't necessarily matter, I suppose. But just trying to, I guess, be consistent with what we've been doing in the past and the comments that have come up. When something like this has come up in the past, too.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. And I agree. Normally, I wouldn't approve something like this, but this is more of a bookkeeping or a policy, well, I don't even know if it's a policy, procedural issue, just to make sure that everything's tied up and going forward at the same point instead of having a lag time and the possibility of something odd happening, which is going to cause us some worry. That would be normally I wouldn't do this, but I think it fits in this case.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
And maybe Ms. Hassard and Councilman Hanford can help me. But we, part of the reason for the agreement was the April 3rd cancellation of the meeting, and the fact that the next meeting would be one that we have down here, we would not be passing legislation or procedure.
Right.
So it would be 5 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks before we got to the second reading, and we thought to help Ms. Hassard, and that it was a bookkeeping thing and was warned in this case.
Thank you. Any other deliberation on the motion? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move to the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. So do I need to change anything in this?
Move to adopt. There you go.
Okay.
All right. So I move to adopt ordinance number 006/2018, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Monroe, Washington, repealing MMC Chapter 3.24, bidding procedures, and Chapter 3.25, approval of contractors for architectural and engineering services, repealing and amending designated sections of Chapter 3.26, public work or improvement, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a motion from Council Member Camp, a second from Council Member Davis. Please let the record show that Council Member Gamble has entered chambers. The time right now is 7:42 p.m. Council Member Gamble, we are on agenda bill number 18-077. The requested action is, the motion is to adopt ordinance number 006-2018, which relates to repealing the Monroe Municipal Code relative to bidding procedures and other such things.
Okay. Yeah, we reviewed this during the Finance Committee, so I'm well aware of this and in support.
Okay, sounds good. And to be clear, the motion again was to adopt. They've already waived first reading.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go to a vote. Actually, is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Next item on the agenda is new business item number 4. This is AB 18-078, resolution number 006-2018, adopting imaging and destruction of paper records, scan and toss policy. Ms. Atkinson.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I hope you will allow me to stay at my seat just so I can take notes on this as well. Before you this evening is a resolution adopting an imaging and destruction of paper records or a scan and toss policy. As spelled out in the agenda, it's basically a tool that's already available to us through the Washington State Archives, which you can see at attachment number 2. And basically, our resolution is adopting a policy which completely mirrors the requirements of Washington State Archives, but it formalizes the process within the city to allow us to kind of have a more formal check of those requirements to make sure that people are doing this properly, and that also there are some IT checkpoints as far as if we have space and imaging requirements and whatnot. So you can see that there is a resolution adopting the policy, and then at the end of the policy there's a checklist that each individual employee would be having to utilize to go through public records officer, their department director, as well as IT staff to make sure that whatever records they're looking at digitizing are meeting all of these requirements from all of those standpoints. Just a couple of items of note there is that we are kind of moving forward with a few different policies in our records management, and so this is the first one that you'll see. We'll also be working on records management retention policy and procedures, and we'll also be updating our public disclosure policy, and all three of these things kind of play together and increasing efficiencies for staff and record keeping. There aren't really any fiscal impacts at this time, but there may be future fiscal impacts regarding equipment or server space or document storage systems. But if any of those came up as needed, of course, they would come to council or in a budget request. So at this time, there's no real fiscal impact to this. Time constraints, as I said, it's not really time constraints, although I know that there are lots of departments that are hoping to get started with looking at what records they can digitize. However, again, this is already a tool that's out there. This really is just formalizing the process within our city. And then, of course, you have our alternatives there. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. No questions, but I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 006-2018, adopting an imaging and destruction of paper records scan and toss policy.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford for the requested action as typed on Agenda Bill 18-078. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Sorry. Next item on the agenda then is also under new business. This is new business item number 5, AB 18079, approval of resolution number 007-2018, approving mobile stage equipment use policy with Mr. Farrell. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, council members. I like the 007.
I had to get on there.
It's our secret. So this is, regarding a use policy for the mobile stage. So as you know, last year, had put the stage into use. We used them for city events such as music in the park, so our crew got a chance to really see that, you know, this is an intricate, large, technical, and could be dangerous piece of equipment. So we learned how to operate it safely, and that went into all our research with the policy as far as like how to operate it, transport it to and from, you know, what restrictions and that sort of thing. So back when the trailer was authorized to be purchased back in 2016, the City Council acknowledged the benefits of a mobile stage, including its versatility for use at multiple locations and events within the community, and the exploration of rented uses of the stage during periods when the stage is not being used for city programs or events through the establishment of a policy and fees. So during the, and also during the 2017, the September City Council meeting, the council approved the 2018 lodging tax grant for the purchase of a portable generator for the stage to utilize an area events to draw tourists to Monroe. And then also fees were established for 2018 last December by City Council meeting for the rented uses of the mobile stage. So city staff have drafted a mobile stage equipment use policy, and after we researched similar governmental organizations' policies, we found a lot throughout the country of this type of a stage, the showmobile, and then we found also from the Bainbridge Islands Park and Recreation District, they have the same showmobile equipment, they have a policy. So we drafted off of that, so that our staff vetted it out, made some revisions to it. It's also been reviewed by our insurance carrier, WCIA, and also by our city attorney. And Attorney Lowell made some recommendations as far as suggested revisions, namely the statement of intent and purpose section in the policy, and also restrictions on use. So the proposed use policy include these following key provisions, which would be that statement of intent and purpose, reservations, restrictions on use, dimensions, accessories, the event site, rules, regulations, delivery setup, weather restrictions, cancellation policies, liability, rental fees, and reservation of right. So you have before you a motion requested action to move to approve this resolution, and I'll take any questions that you have.
Thank you very much. Questions, Council? Councilmember Kent?
Thank you.
Your finger.
So I didn't see it. Is there a limitation to within city limits, or?
Yeah, so what we have as far as the area, the use reservations, City of Monroe, showmobile stage is available for rental use within the boundaries of the Monroe School District. So we wanted to keep it, so we didn't want to be running it out to, let's say, Tacoma, you know.
Right, but that means it could go down as far as Multi.
Right.
And, I don't know.
Yeah, so we want to keep it local here, and then also beyond that, by organizations and businesses when not used by the city for city events and programs. Also, applications will be accepted for the showmobile from government entities within Snohomish County. We kept it to Snohomish County. These out-of-area reservations are limited to one reservation per calendar year. For out of area government entity, as far as beyond the Monroe School District.
I'm sorry. Oh, beyond? So you can do one thing outside of the school district?
Right. Within Snohomish County. So.
Per year.
Right.
Okay.
So I didn't mention it, but the showmobile also. It's required to have the operator need to have a CDLA license,
mm-hmm.
and we currently now have two park staff that have CDLA licenses. So, so again, as far as like what staff time and other activities are doing in the parks, and the limitations on how many staff can actually, move the piece of equipment, that kind of went into, I don't think the intent was to have the showmobile stage rented out, several times throughout.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding something. So essentially, somebody wants to rent it, you're going to give them the keys, tell them to have the truck. So we are having city staff go out.
Yes, it's in the office. Yeah.
That's what I thought, but I thought you just said that.
I wasn't very clear on that. Yeah, so we have two park staff that have CDLA licenses, and they're the two folks that are going to be driving around. So it's not like every park staff can drive it around either. It's required to have a CDLA.
And
so,
and city staff is going to go out to the site and make sure that it's...
Yes. So delivery and setup will be city staff shall do that.
So if somebody decides to do it out in cornfield or something, would be destructive to the trailer, then...
Exactly. So
you
so
just say, no thanks.
This policy has all of that in as far as where we vetted out. We visit the site. We see, is this something where this thing can safely, be put into this spot? Is it big enough? Is it, safe? Like, is it going to damage the equipment or...
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Council? Their motion? Councilmember Rasmussen?
That was another question. So on the fees, Mike, the cleanup and damage deposit, $500, is that refundable then?
Yes.
Okay. No other questions, so I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 007, 2018, adopting a mobile stage equipment use policy.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Rasmussen made the motion for the requested action as typed in agenda bill number 18079 with a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0.
I think you should read it again.
Thank you. Just to say 007 again.
007.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Next item on the agenda is agenda bill. All right. Final action is where we are now. Final action number one, this is AB 18-080, ordinance number 007, 2018, declaring an emergency regarding temporary security for construction sites. First and final reading is the recommended action. Mr. Swanson.
Great. Thank you, Council Mayor. I was approached by a developer, and he was talking about all the theft that he was having on his site, vandalism and trespass that was taking place. And so with that, I started looking into it a little bit more. And what I discovered was that that there are issues out there on the job site. Some of the larger builders that we have in town, the residential builders, actually hire security to go around their job site to a tune of approximately $3,000 a month per site. And so it can be a little costly for the smaller developers. And specifically with one site, with the help of the deputy chief, and the site actually didn't have an address at that time, so it took quite a bit of police work to hone down exactly how many police calls took place there. Had about 18 in 2 years, and those were just the ones that the owner reported. He's had multiple issues, especially with, you know, batteries being stolen out of equipment, generators, those kind of things. And so so as I got to researching it, the issue became more and more where I know the city's done a lot of work on regulating RVs and campers, you know, people living in them. It's gone to an extent when I went through the code to see if we could actually have it as an allowed use. It was prohibited to actually allow someone to stay on site there. And the title has security in it, but essentially they're offering a presence there. A human presence on site is the first thing, and the second thing is the eyes. If something goes on, they can actually call the police and report the crime going on. And so the emergency part of the ordinance is we have a couple larger structures that are just getting siding on them, approximately 20 unit apartments. And although not on that site, historically we've had fires in the old Eastside Masonry site, and the owner is particularly nervous about that. Also, we have another individual that has about $60,000 worth of windows being hauled in on site with this kind of uptick with the nice weather construction season, so they're worried about that. And they would really like the opportunity to have a presence out there, so I am proposing the emergency ordinance just so we can get this pushed through. Obviously, within this time frame of this interim ordinance, we would take it back to the normal process of Planning Commission sending it off to Commerce, go through SEPA, and then bring it back to Council for a permanent adoption. And so one other thing to note is along with some formatting issues, we took subsection B7A and adjusted that. And so the ordinance, if you drop down to 7 there, starts off with a 12 unit temporary dwelling in shall be removed. We took that out of 7A no later than 1 week and moved it up to the 7. So now it says a temporary dwelling unit shall be removed no later than 1 week, drop down to A after final certificate of occupancy, and drop down to B. So we made that 1 week essentially apply to both of them. And so that was the edit there. And so with that, staff's recommendation for this is request council to waive the second reading and move to adopt ordinance number 007-2018.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I think this is really good. So I will move to waive council rules procedure requiring second reading of an ordinance.
I have a motion from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Davis for the requested action A in Agenda Bill 18-080. This is waiving Council Rules of Procedure requiring a second reading of an ordinance. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Camp.
I would like to move to adopt interim ordinance numbers 007/2018, amending Title 18 MMC by the addition of a new section 18.10.085, temporary dwelling security, and amending section 18.10.050, temporarily providing allowances for on-site security during periods of active construction by permitting the placement of a temporary dwelling for the overnight stay of a security guard to protect a job site against theft, vandalism, and trespass that generally occurs after hours, providing for separability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second. All right, I have a motion for the requested action B in Agenda Bill 18-080 as typed, with from Councilmember Camp, with a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Mr. Swanson. Next item on the agenda is final action number 2. This is AB 18081, assignment of City Council Representative to Downtown Art Sculpture Selection Committee. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you. Back. Okay, so we have a call for sculptors out for a downtown outdoor sculpture, as was in this year's budget. The deadline for entries is Friday, March 30th. And once we received all of the entries, a selection committee, which is composed of city staff, a city council representative, and invited representatives from the Monroe Park Board, Monroe Planning Commission, Monroe Arts Council, Monroe Chamber of Commerce, and Downtown Monroe Association will jury on two levels. One, the general quality of the artist's body of work, and two, the piece submitted and how it meets the city's public art policy. And then that selection committee will make a recommendation to the Monroe City Council for final selection. So the policy question for the City Council is whether to appoint a council member to serve on the selection committee. Council member Jeff Rasmussen was previously appointed to the selection committee two years ago and expressed interest in representing the City Council again.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I just, again, want to express my interest in serving on the selection committee on behalf of the council again. And great opportunity, so would like to throw that out there.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Well, I wanted to be considered for it as well, but if you want to carry forward, I'll let you. So I will move to assign Councilmember Rasmussen to serve on the 2018 Downtown Art Sculpture Selection Committee.
Second. Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Gamble. The motion is this: move to assign Councilmember Rasmussen to serve on the 2018 Downtown Art Sculpture Selection Committee. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is final action number 2. I've already done that. Okay, so we're moving on to council member reports. First council member report this evening that we have is City Council Finance and Human Resources Committee. Council member Gamble.
Yes, sir. So we met here at the beginning of the month. Appreciate procurement policy. Basically, the items were reviewing the procurement policy, which we approved tonight. Appreciate that. And then I think one of note, if you look at item B in the report, was moving towards a twice-a-month payroll. So that's a change for staff. We talked about how Becky had talked about, and she's dead on, and how that can actually be viewed as a negative when you're trying to, you know, get lure people. Lure is a bad word. Recruit. Recruit people when to only have a once-a-month payroll. So moving to a twice-a-month payroll, effective July 2018. And then also review the debt policy, kind of just an introduction there, and kind of talk about really setting debt limits, you know, having a policy around debt limits, debt structure practices, debt issuance practices. I'm really kind of reviewing that, and there'll be more additional information at a future meeting where we'll review that. Did I miss anything? Okay. Any questions?
All right. Any questions for Finance Committee? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and go down the line. Councilmember Gamble, do you have anything?
Yeah. Attended the, what was it called last night? the Monroe Safe
Safe Schools?
Safe Schools event up at the high school that Mayor Thomas moderated. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Good discussion, good questions, informative. I think, you know, one of the things that I did take out of that is we had table discussions and then also the discussions that came up from the questions is just what we can do locally to help in regards to making our schools safer, and really, you know, taking that to heart from what can we here do locally from the standpoint of making the schools safer. We have a school resource officer that is on site. We only have one that's up at the high school. I would be really interested in looking into what would it take to grow the school resource officer ranks in the city of Monroe, and then also in working with and talking with the school district and reaching out to the county for involvement from them in regards to those schools that are sitting in the county. But at a minimum, for those schools that are sitting in the city of Monroe, you know, how do we get more school resource officers in our schools? And that was my thought last night, and then after this morning and reading the news, I'm even more convinced that it is something that we need to move forward with. For those that didn't see, there was another shooting this morning on the East Coast, and the school resource officer was able to put a stop to it. So anyway, I would love to bring that back to have a discussion about what that looks like. How do we engage the school? If there is anybody else that would be willing to support. Okay. So great meeting. We did, and there was everybody that was there at the end, they did a straw poll on you know, another event or a follow-up event you know, to that to get more planning, and it was 100%, it was unanimous. There was nobody that didn't think that we shouldn't have another community event to talk about what we can do locally, you know. But from a city perspective, I was, when, you know, zeroed in on the school resource officer, but then there's also the capital piece from the school district side of it. You know, what can we do in the buildings to make them safer? And then the reporting piece from a mental health awareness and making sure that the community and the public knows how to report issues when they see them, so that we're all part of the process. So the only other thing I had is Friday, March 23rd. My son's birthday, and it's also the Monroe Public School Foundation option. So I appreciate all that have supported, and I know that several of you are gonna be there. So it should be a good night. We're hoping to raise, I think our goal is $120,000. So we got a lot of procurement stuff from a lot of really good folks within the state valley, so I think we're in good shape to hit it. So hopefully have something really positive to report next week. That's it.
Thank you, Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Just a quick question in regards to the school resource officer.
Yeah.
Do you envision that coming to P4 right away, or just straight to council?
I think we were just going back and forth just a little bit on notes. This would be something that, just to clarify, would be part of the 2019 budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So one of the things that we could do is bring it forward in that June-July timeframe, talk about as part of the 2019 budget. Could also go ahead and, in advance of that, engage our Monroe School District partners, since the way that is set up right now is that they pay for about roughly 9 months out of the 12-month period, and we pay for the other three. I think we also discussed a little bit last night about the Sheriff's Office and how they used to provide support outside of city limits. Right now we're providing that support in the schools outside of city limits, is what I understood from last night. And we'll go ahead and we'll engage our partners at the school district and bring it forward. Do you have anything further?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound acceptable to the council? Okay, sounds good. Councilmember Scarborough?
In your conversations last night, was the school district on board with it more? So, because they're going to be paying 9 months, and are they up for ponying up as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, the bottom line is on it, Kirk, is that we got to start the conversation, and you got to start crunching the numbers. What's it going
to
take?
You have to.
But both of us, right? Both
partners.
Of us. It's a partnership. we got to start the conversation so that we can start figuring out where the funding, you know, comes from that. There's also some, as we know, there's some safety stuff that's been passed even, you know, in Congress. They're not totally sure how much money, per se, that local school districts will get through the state and or through federal. So, but there's no reason why we can't start having the conversation now from a finance 2019 budget side of the equation, both from a city and school district perspective. So I think, you know, we were briefly talking last night, is just, you know, we have the school resource officer at the high school, but they're not there all the time. And there really is a desire to make sure that we have a school resource officer when high school's in session, that we have one there all the time, that we have somebody that's flowing between the two middle schools, or, you know, a joint between the county and or the city, and then having some sort of rotation going with our elementary schools, just so that there's a presence.
And I would presume that those talks, we talk about what the school's doing to limit access to buildings.
Yes, absolutely. So really, it was when you break it, the way I looked at it, we talked about it at our table, is it's a multifaceted approach, right? You've got the school resource officer is one component. You have the design of capital facilities and infrastructure, which is which is another piece. So even all of the new buildings that are being put into place, making sure that, you know, we're using graded material that is conducive to, I'm not saying bulletproof, but you understand that piece part. And then there's design components that you can do with vestibules and stuff, and making sure that we're moving folks, you know, in a way that it restricts access, ingress into the campus. Then the other piece was also security systems, you know, having that, you know, kind of monitored approach.
So. And if I can, we spent about an hour and 15 minutes on a variety of topics, some of which Councilmember Gamble just covered. We could certainly talk to the Monroe Coalition and see if we could have a couple people come in for a special presentation to the council, or perhaps they had expressed interest last night in doing another presentation. Maybe we could schedule another presentation in that May-June timeframe in advance of the council discussing this in the June-July timeframe.
Okay.
Because I know that there are a lot of questions on this. I know that the entire community certainly wasn't there last night. A lot of people were there. But I think it would be good for council to hear what our schools are doing and how we partner as a city in doing that.
You probably have more tonight or tomorrow night if you have that meeting again after yesterday or today's.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Thanks. I just wanted to interject. Well, first of all, I appreciate you bringing that update, but I just want to interject that rather than just talk about the 2019 budget, looking at what it takes to start at the minimum September 1st,
okay,
when school starts. Not wait until January.
Good point.
Because that's almost a year away. So
that would be a year away. And that was part of my question. So is there an interest in council that would require a supplemental budget amendment this current year? Mm-hmm. Is that something that council would like to bring forward for discussion?
I think it's worth a discussion.
Yes, discussion, yes.
Okay,
discussion.
We'll go ahead and take a look at what we can put on the calendar in the next 6-week sort of time frame. Chief, do you have anything to add, or Deputy Chief?
That time frame might be a little bit restrictive.
The 16th.
Council and the school district approve that and found funding to do that. We still have to get officers through the academy, through field training, and so on, in order to put them into school, and September is a little bit aggressive.
Okay. So what I'm understanding, at a minimum, there's an interest in having a conversation with the council in the nearer term, before that May-June timeframe. So we'll see what we can do to have a conversation with council sooner. Since this just came up tonight, I'm not going to identify an exact date until we can figure out what that format is and everything, but we'll get something scheduled in the closer term.
Perfect.
Okay. Anything further, Councilmember Gamble?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
Nothing tonight.
Okay. Councilmember Davis? Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Hanford?
Just that I wasn't able to make last night, and so I appreciate you making the update. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
Yeah, I'd like to ask, we have about our RFP for
I don't know, do we have an RFP for a police chief, or do we have an RFP for a committee to pick a police chief? I'd like to make my request that perhaps we look in the region before we go nationally, that we ask for regional candidates and vet them before we go past that, before we hire a committee for some, I don't know what it costs, you'll have to tell me, to look at a regional, or not regional, but a nationwide vetting of people. Do you understand what I'm asking?
So I think what you're referring to, Councilmember, is that about 2 weeks ago we issued a request for proposals, very much like we did for the city administrator. The RFP is to find a recruiting firm to assist us in the search for a new police chief. The RFP included hiring an interim police chief to become effective when Chief Quinzer has left. We did something very similar for the city administrator position. I did not do that for the community development director position. I did not do that for the finance director position, but I did do that for the city administrator position to cast a wide net to get the best candidates that we could that would be a good fit for our city. I did ultimately end up bringing forward to council, and council did confirm somebody that is actually quite local, and I'm thankful for that. Thank you. The police chief, I would like to do the same thing. We did get already responses back to the RFP. The response that we received from one vendor is $18,500. That's what we did with the city administrator. In the event that we go through the process and the person that we select doesn't work out for us, the way the contract is usually set up is that within about a 12-month period of time, we're able to say this person isn't working out for us. We'd like you to do a new search. They then go back out and do the search again. One of the reasons why I like using an outside firm for this high level of position for the chief of police and also for the city administrator is because these companies have a wide network of people they can call upon. The $18,500, if I'm not mistaken, includes the advertising costs, which we would have to incur. It also includes their staff time with reviewing and vetting candidates. They will actually make proactive phone calls to people that they know that might be interested in moving to the Pacific Northwest West or moving up. If they're a deputy chief somewhere else and might want to come and work as a chief. So it's something that I think is necessary to recruit the best pool of candidates that we can to find the best fit for a police chief. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate hearing what other council members think about doing a recruitment process for this position. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I agree with the process. I understand what you're saying. I guess we're going to hire the right person, whether they're regional or from wherever. I mean, that's the best practice from, mm-hmm. we use, you know, at where I work as well. So I don't see where we go wrong by casting a wide net, and that it's offset by, I mean, there's really no cost incurrence from a standpoint. It's offset by the chief's salary, correct, being off the books at that time.
Okay, so we've got a couple different things there. One is you've got an interim police chief that would be hired. There is some offset there, but we still haven't received the final financials on that. I think that we actually do end up paying more than the offset. But what I understood his concern was the actual recruitment process. Mm-hmm. And that amount, again, is about $18,500. If I remember correctly, we did include some of that in the 2018 budget. Ms. Hassert, do you remember the approximate number?
Yes. What we had done is when we were doing projections for the end of 2017 and in projecting the beginning fund balance, there was a... We considered a potential that this might happen a little sooner, so there's going to be some carryover that we'll address as part of the first budget amendment this year, but then there was also still a remaining $6,000 that was budgeted in the HR budget, or I'm sorry, $3,000 in the HR budget as the carryover for that in the 18 budget, so we would have to bump that up. This was something that was anticipated.
Yep. Yeah, I'm in support of it. It's something that I'm very familiar with, and I know that we use the exact same strategy on the city administrator, and as the mayor said, we couldn't have got more local. So, anyway, that's it.
Okay, does anybody else, Councilmember Hanford?
Thanks. We had talked earlier, and I think one of the concerns you were concerned with was the cost involved and how much more it would add up. So, from my understanding, it's $18,000. Is that, do you feel like that's answering your question? Because I feel like it's answered mine. So.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with that. It's nice to know figures.
Yeah. No, I would love to use an internal recruitment process. With that said, the chief of police is. It is a very important position, and we need to find the best fit for our officers and our sergeants and the other personnel over in PD, and also for our community. And I feel that this is going to be the way that we're going to be able to cast that wider net. Those are my reasons. Okay, anybody else with any concerns on this? All right, thank you very much, councilmembers. Councilmember Scarborough, do you have anything else? Other than this? Okay.
Well, I just nothing.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll go ahead and go on out to staff reports. Our first staff report, department report, is coming from Community Development. Mr. Swanson.
Thank you, Council Mayor. So with the sunny weather and us coming into spring and summer, the current development projects, the flats, single-family residential units, are really kicking in, some of them moving along faster than what we originally thought. If you look on your current development map, you'll see the properties in green there that are identified as preliminary flats. Most of the majority of those are going through their infrastructure improvement projects, and those all total are approximately 455 single-family homes that are involved in those. One of the larger ones is Worthington Heights, which is 100 homes. It's a Deer Horton development. They plan on building out all the homes this year. They, when Deer Horton, their nationwide builder, moved out here, they also bought a local builder. So their local builder is going to start at one end of the flat, they're going to start at the other, and they're just going to work their way towards the center. And so that's probably one of the more aggressive ones we'll see building out. With this large push for everyone trying to get through the door to get in time for the summer and construction season, it is impacting our time that we're spending on our UDR update. We're still pushing for our same deadline, our same date, but we are pulling back on some of it a little bit, so it may be pushed out a little longer than what I would like. But right now, it's just current development trumps our long-range and code planning. So we'll just keep moving forward with it, keep trying to maintain the schedule, but just wanted to give you a heads up that what's going on in the department.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
What plat are you referring to?
Worthington Heights.
Airport? Did you say airport?
No.
Oh, Worthington Heights is where?
It's on your map, so it's...
I don't have a map.
Oh, okay. It's not in that. Okay. It's on...
the last page of the packet.
I don't see an open for the packet.
Okay. So it's in the north. It's in the North Hill area. So if you right around Summit Avenue. Oops, I
just, are we up on the top of 191st?
Just west of the Crombie's property.
Okay. And where's that?
Okay.
Across from the tail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Exactly.
Got it.
And then, yeah, and then everything's in a little more detail in your packets also. And if you don't have any questions for me, do you want to?
Thank you. Yeah, does anybody else have any questions? Sorry, that's weird. I'm looking at a link where I see the map, and Councilmember Gamble wasn't able to pull up the map. We've got two different links that we're looking at.
I can't. I don't see any word clip.
No, yeah, so just FYI, staff documents on my computer I see the link, and on the computer next to me I do not see the link.
Just populated.
Oh, just populated. Who did that?
Who did that?
How do you do?
Nothing.
Yeah.
What are you doing over there?
Yeah, it's because it said previous, even to come into the meeting, there's no documents for this item.
Do I have to click somewhere to find?
Well, that's too weird.
Sorry.
Okay, does anybody else have any other questions?
I think you're
maybe for IT?
All right. Straight face the whole time. I'm quite impressed.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Swanson. Next report is from Economic Development Update. Ms. Knight.
Just a couple of additional items to what you have in your packet. We did get contacted by a firm that is looking to bring a call center to Monroe. So we've had James Palmer reach out and start the conversation about potentially relocating here. And then Mr. Swanson and I met with members of the management team at Evergreen Health Monroe, talked to them about what they potentially need from the city in order to be successful in the community, and then heard more about their long-range plans. So very interesting conversation with Evergreen Health Monroe. They also indicated that they are going to be bringing a resolution to their board in support of the quiet trains. So we may be seeing that coming back to us before the council takes further action on that issue.
Cool. Questions on Economic Development Monthly Report? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the next report. And it looks like it's going to be our Parks and Recreation update from Mr. Farrell. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. You have the Parks and Recreation Department report in your packets, and some things I'd want to point out from it regarding the Sky River playground replacement. Just some new update here is that the playground has been ordered, and they expect to have all of that in and be ready to begin work at the end of April. So we are working right now, backtracking from that date on when we would begin the demo work and scheduling a groundbreaking ceremony. So we're looking at tentatively here possibly the first week or the second week of April. So we might already have some things going on over there. So
okay.
So stay tuned on that one. And then that being said, they estimate that if they're able to begin work at the end of April, that the potential completion could be about by Memorial Day weekend, weather permitting. So moving quickly on that one. And the other thing I want to call your attention, we have the movies set for this year, so appreciate all of the members of our partnership, the Republic Services, Monroe Arts Council, Monroe Concert Band, Public Schools Foundation, the Monroe Family YMCA, Monroe Boys and Girls Club, so we have some cool movies. Do want to thank Republic Services, who again this year confirmed their support to donating $2,000 to be the key sponsor for the Movies on the Moon. They also support the Downtown Flower Beautification Program. And in addition, they provide complimentary garbage and recycled toter service for the Egg Hunt and National Night Against Crime. Then on the last page, the monthly report there on unmarked trails inspections that our folks are doing. We did have another, a couple weeks in the beginning from the last month of river flooding types. I think we're past a lot of that now. And it's just an average month here. It looks like an average weekly of 10 labor hours and 6 bags of litter collected. And it's got sort of close to the running average. So it's doesn't really jump out, and we didn't have any encampments that were encountered in Calvillo or Sky River Parks during that period of time. And then last, I want to also point out Adopt a Park. So as you know, or may know, the Monroe Boys and Girls Club have been piloting our Adopt a Park program for Sky River Park. They've been doing that for the last year. But we are also finalizing partnerships with the Monroe Rotary Club for Lake Tai Park, and also the Monroe Kiwanis Club for Blueberry Children's Park. So our Adopt a Park program is growing. And that's all I have. Sorry.
Thank you very much, Mr. Farrell. Any questions for Mr. Farrell? Thank you very much, Mr. Farrell. All right. And where are we? The next report is from Ms. Hassard, Finance Update.
I really do promise I will not take you to 10. So basically, the finance report is in your packet, so I'm not going to rehash that.
As you know, other than to say, as I usually do this time of year, it is still a little early to start looking at trends for 2018. Now, one thing I did want to bring to your attention, though, is, as I promised last year, the report will continue to be ever-evolving. So there is now a new graph in your report. And what this is again, it has to do with sales taxes. This actually lists out the categories based on the National Classification Index that's used with regards to various industrial activities, retail, etc. And this, to me, is a good chart to show you as to where or what is what categories are generating the sales taxes for us. So as you can see on this chart, the biggest generator of sales tax for us each month is retail. Now, that does not include restaurants and hospitality. That is considered a separate code. That's this little blip here. So as you can see, what comes in second as far as category goes is construction. And as you know, we had been, we started last year when we were trying to isolate out the sales taxes associated with new construction. So that's the piece that we're trying to isolate out for you. But again, just to kind of show you, as we're also, we're working with the Economic Development Board to educate them on this as well, so that they know what categories are our biggest contributors for sales tax. So that is out there in your packet as well. Now, one thing I forgot to mention during the procurement policies is that I couldn't have done it alone. Like I said, staff really did a lot of vetting for me on that, and one particular staff member I wanted to mention on record as being extreme help with updating the policies was Jamie Gian in Public Works in our engineering department. She was very helpful in creating that matrix for me, as well as doing some of the footwork and research for me that I had there that contributed to that over inch high stack that then I had to go through with that. So I just wanted to give her kudos as well on that. Subsequent events. So as you know, every time we issue, this gets back to debt policy and introducing the finance committee to that concept and moving forward with that. Every time we issue debt, we go through a ratings process. So the last one we did had to do with our revenue debt, the debt issued with regards to our utilities, and that was done by Moody's, and we had come out of that with a AA stable rating for our revenue debt. We do currently have an outstanding general obligation debt that is associated with North Kelsey, and that rating was done back in 2014, and it was done by Standard & Poor's. Part of their process is to go through, and every few years, if the debt's still outstanding, to want to re-rate the agency so that they can update their reports. So we were contacted by them a week and a half ago, asking for all our latest updates with regards to our annual reports, our audits, and basically how we're managing the city, where we're at with our finances, etc. I spent over an hour on the phone answering the rating analyst's questions, and then he did leave me a message towards the end of last week. This is still unofficial, but he did say that after presenting everything to the committee, they are recommending upgrading our bond rating on the GO bonds from an AA- to a AA stable. So again, for a city this size to have both our revenue and our GO debt be AA stable, that's a pretty major achievement. So just wanted to share that with you tonight as well.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
Thank you. Council, do you have any questions? Thank you very much, Ms. Hassard.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Next item on the agenda is Mayor and Administrative Reports. Ms. Knight.
So a couple items on the upcoming agenda for the City Council. You note that we have a special meeting scheduled for next week. Excuse me, that starts at 5 p.m., so schedule will be provided to you. We have two items. We're going to be continuing discussion of the strategic plan and then also talking about Vision 2050 and an update to our population allocation through Puget Sound Regional Council. So it should be an interesting discussion.
This is next week?
Next week.
5 o'clock?
5 o'clock. Our Tuesday, April 3rd meeting has been canceled due to the school holiday for spring break. And then following Tuesday, we have another study session, and we're going to be covering the public workshop update. So the cost estimates on the public workshop, our debt service policies, and then the North Kelsey vision. And so this is coming back out of the conversations that we're having with the brokers about what we should be marketing around North Kelsey. So another really interesting discussion on that study session. The only other item I have is I just want to give kudos to Mr. Farrell and Mr. Feilberg's staff. They've been working together on making water quality information at Lake Tai available both on site at the lake itself and then through the city's website. We get a lot of questions during the summer months about just how good that water quality is. And it is good, and we need to get that information out to the public so they feel safe and swimming and enjoying that lake. So that's coming forward. And I know Mr. Feilberg did, and Mr. Farrell didn't mention it, so I just wanted to bring that up. That's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. First of all, I appreciate you settling this dispute of the Lake Tai water quality and getting the word out. Second of all, the extended agenda here shows the May 15th, that's the next Legislative Affairs Committee meeting, and on the paper at the meeting, it actually said the next meeting is May 22nd. So I just wanted to clarify which day it is. It is the 15th. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further?
I don't have anything further.
Okay. And question for the Council Member Gamble. When is Garbage Day?
Cleanup Day?
Yeah.
That is scheduled for Saturday, May 12th.
May 12th.
It's also in the finance report.
We
have the date and the hours. We also have just received the flyer from Republic, so that will be out on the website here shortly.
That's what I look for. I like the big old flyer.
And
we'll
be coming in the utility
building. Fantastic.
And I was remiss in not going through individual departments that don't have official reports on tonight. So let me go through real quick. Chief? Okay. Mr. Worthen? Okay. Mr. Farrell, anything further? Mr. Swanson, anything further? Ms. Hassard? Mr. Feilberg, welcome back.
Thank
you. Okay. So, Councilmember Gamble?
May 12th at the high school.
For garbage pickup day.
Right.
Okay.
There's a performance at the PAC that day.
They spoke with the operations manager up there at the high school and got the okay.
Yeah, there's a 1 p.m. show and there's a 7 p.m. show.
We will follow up.
Yeah.
We'll circle back. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, anything further? All right, Mayor's report, you'll see that I met with the Chamber Board on Friday morning last week, and we talked about SOTA, we talked about the sit and lie ordinance, we talked about some of the things we're doing with economic development and things along those lines. As Councilmember Gamble pointed out, I also attended the meeting at the school district at the high school last night, and have some meetings this week that I'll go ahead and report out next week. That's the extent of my briefing, and I think this brings us to the executive session portion of our agenda. So we do have a need for two executive sessions. We're going to try to start with 10 minutes, knowing that we can extend. The two executive sessions are potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection I, for approximately 10 minutes total for the two. The second one of the two is property acquisition, RCW 42.30.220, subsection 1, subsection B. Ms. Knight, who will we need from staff for litigation?
So that will be Mr. Swanson.
Okay, and for the property acquisition?
Mr. Swanson.
Okay, great. So thank you, everybody, for coming this evening. We are going into exec session, and we will be acting, taking action following executive session, if nothing else, to adjourn the meeting.
Mr. Mayor, one point of order.
Yes.
The second citation looks like it was a typo, and it should be 110 or 110 as well.
Okay, so the second citation, which is property acquisition, should be RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection B. We are in executive session now for approximately 10 minutes with action. Okay, we're back in session. There is no further business required this evening. Councilmember Gamble?
Move to adjourn.
Second. Motion to adjourn from Councilmember Gamble, second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Sure.